Next Wednesday night, we will be in the auditorium. There will not be children's classes. It's Christmas Day, and we will be having church on Christmas Day. I don't understand a church that is going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and then cancel the service on his birthday, right? So we will have church next Wednesday night, and it'll be a special service. It'll be here in the auditorium. We'll be all together. We're in Revelation chapter 3 this evening. It will not be Revelation next week. We'll pick up with Revelation in the new year, in January. I'll be preaching next Wednesday night. The following Wednesday night, Mrs. Bishop and I will be in Michigan. And Dad said, bring a chainsaw. Bring drywall, because he's got some drywall that needs done. So bringing drywall supplies, screws, screw guns, all kinds of things. So I'm tired already just thinking about it. But looking forward to being there. While I'm gone that last Wednesday night in December, you're going to have the privilege of hearing Brother Embador preach. And they are new to us, but I want you to know them. I want you to get to know them. I want you to get to trust them. You have a Bible question, you can absolutely ask him. He is skilled in God's Word. He'll be a blessing to you. And he's taught the last several weeks for Brother Oldenburg, and he's done a wonderful job doing that. And I know that he'll be a blessing to you that Wednesday evening. In Revelation chapter 3, we're in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, the church, not at, the church of Laodicea. That's the title of the message this evening. Didn't you get that? The church of the Laodiceans. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening and that we would be attentive and challenge this evening to keep our eyes focused on you and your word and your purpose. And we'll thank you for what you do this evening in our hearts as we pray to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Seven letters, seven churches. People would say these are seven different church ages, and that today we are in the church age of the Laodicean. We are in the Laodicean age. I'll just say, these are seven churches that were in existence at the time these letters were written. And these seven churches, these seven types, have existed in every single age of mankind. So, Pastor, are you saying we are not in the Laodicean age? That is correct. We are not in the Laodicean age. We are in the church age. Are there churches of that are typical of Laodicea? Absolutely. And there were 20 years ago and 50 years ago and 100 years ago and 2,000 years ago when this letter was written. And again, there is a difference. Every letter has been to the church. Well, let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in. It's a church there. But words are important. The critical text Bible translators who are playing fast and loose with God's Word, when they say, hey, we're basically like the King James, but they're not, that's a lie right from the very beginning. Say, how do you know that? The first question I ask when somebody says, we're basically the same as the King James, I said, open that Bible and tell me. Because there's a new Bible come out, and somebody just called me up just recently and said, what do you think about this movement of Baptist preachers about this Bible? And I said, I hadn't seen it. I had not seen the Bible. I said, you've got one in your hand? He said, I do. I said, open it up to the first couple of pages and tell me, is it copyrighted? And they said, yes, it's copyrighted. I said, then what they have told you is a lie. Because in order to get a copyright, you must prove that it is substantially different to anything that is in existence. So for them to say, this is just like the King James Bible, we've just updated some language, and they put a copyright on it, that is a bold-faced lie. Because to get that copyright, they had to prove that they were different. They're telling one thing to the copyright office, and they're telling another thing to you. Now just beware. Beware. Look for the copyright. So, the church in, this is not the church in. This is the church of. You'll notice that this is not the church of Jesus Christ. This is a church of the Laodiceans. In this church, Jesus Christ is not welcome. I draw your attention to verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is a very popular verse. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. At home, growing up above the piano, we had that picture of Jesus Christ knocking at the door. Very classic picture, very, very popular. And people have seen a lot of homes. People have reproduced it. Jesus is on the outside. He locked out. A church that is a church of the Laodiceans, not the church of God, not the church of God's word, not a biblical New Testament church that follows God and follows God's precept. It's a church that has locked God out. So let's read. There is no commendation to this church. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, all things to all men, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Why? Because they are not clothed. They are naked. They are in their sin. They are in their trespasses and sins. And there is a need for them to be born again. They need the robes of righteousness, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Why? Because they don't see. They don't get it. They don't understand. God's word is a closed book to them. They look at somebody like me, and they say, man, you're nuts. You're crazy. The Bible, you follow that book? And I'm talking about preachers. Silliness to them. God wants you to know, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And he tells them, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. But he is not doing that right now. He is locked. He is on the outside. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And then the admonition in verse 22 is the same. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There is a danger of lukewarm Christianity. Jesus Christ is the Amen. He is, verse 14, the faithful and true witness. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He lists himself as the Alpha and Omega. Jesus was not part of creation. Jesus is the Creator. He is. I'm talking about that a little bit more on Sunday. But this church has no spiritual fervor. They're content to come to church and fill in the blanks and check off the box and go home. Picture a stadium that is full of thousands of people. Should change the world for Christ, right? If they're fervent followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. But it's not. That's a problem. No spiritual fervor. No recognition of their spiritual need, which is why Christ says, repent. Repent. They are not liberal. Not flying the extreme left. Flying the rainbow flag. Not marrying two men, two women. But they don't really see what all the fuss is about. They wouldn't kill your baby, but they'd drive you to get your baby killed. Kind of walk on both worlds at the same time. And we live in a day and age where churches tolerate everything, but that is not new. Tolerate everyone. Tolerate immorality. And I regularly take phone calls. Now I'm the old guy. So the young guys call me. Where does the Bible stand on divorce? Marriage. Remarriage. And I talk to them about where God's word is. And they're like, wow, that's hard. Yeah. Well, it is Bible, and you are the preacher, and we are not to be all things to all men. That's what the Church of Laodicea was. Of the Laodiceans, and we're not to be the pastors of the Laodiceans. We're to be the pastors that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, follow God, follow God's word. Now, you study the New Testament church, go to the book of Acts. I tell you what, the charge that is levied against us is that of intolerance. You are so intolerant. You might want to go through the book of Acts once in a while and just, you want to talk about an intolerant church? Yeah, the book of Acts. I mean, there are people that were standing up and saying, I love Jesus, I gave it all to the Lord, and they got struck dead. Why hast thou conceived with thy husband to lie to the Holy Ghost? Your husband, the men that took your husband out when he dropped over dead are coming to take you. And poof, and she was gone. Whoa. Imagine if that happened on Sunday morning. That would get your attention. Ananias and Sapphira, dead. Immorality was absolutely condemned. What did Paul say? Deliver them to Satan for the destruction of their souls. That just doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Now, what are we to do? We're supposed to feed the sheep. Absolutely, but we are not to tolerate the wolves. It's been a while, but it was a Sunday night service, and there were two young men in the service. Two young men. They sat over here, about where Mr. Frank is sitting, and they were, I don't know, 20 years of age, and they were going after teenage girls. I can tell you I was not tolerant of that. I met them on the steps outside of the service after church. They had girls, teenage girls over here in the dark. And I said, gentlemen, and I smile. You smile. You are absolutely welcome to come to Lighthouse Baptist Church if you want to learn about the Lord, you want to learn about God's Word. But if you're here to go after our teenage girls and corrupt them, I'll tell you what, you and I are going to clash. Because I don't know much about my job as a shepherd, but what I do know is that I'm supposed to protect the sheep, especially the little lambs, from threats. And gentlemen, I want you to know that I have identified you as a threat. Say, preacher, did they come back? They did not. But our teenage girls are safe from them and not to be tolerated. You say, preacher, that was very intolerant. That was very intolerant. You follow God. Follow God's word. Do the right thing. David, in writing about, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, there are some preachers that take the rod. It was an offensive instrument that was used to beat off the predators. It was a weapon in the hand of the shepherd. It should not be used against sheep. But when that wolf comes in, that is absolutely is meant to protect the sheep. So there are preachers that I know beat up on the sheep, and that's not right. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I see the shepherd with an instrument, the staff, that is meant to pull me away from the cliff, and with the rod that is meant to deal with that wolf when he comes to get me or my family, that comforts me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Boy, I tell you what, when David went after that bear and that lion, it was not a comfort to them. And how bold was David? He grabbed that lion by his beard and sent him out into eternity. Sin is to be condemned. The Bible battle lines must be drawn. And you best know where you stand. Sin is not to be tolerated. Not to be given place. And God defined them as lukewarm. I know thy works. Not cold, not hot. I work, thou art cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm. No emotion, no enthusiasm, no urgency, no compassion. Church is filled with liberal thinkers and broad views, free thinking, free acting, tolerant. It's a different passage. It's a different church than what God designed in the book of Acts. It's just different. Tolerate sin. Turn with me to Philippians. Hold your finger here. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 2, verse 21. Let's start at verse 20. Paul saying, Philippians 2, verse 20, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. That's not everybody. Because why? Verse 21. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And there are those people out there, and we should be careful. We should absolutely be careful. Turn to chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. Start at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly thing. But we ought to be different. Verse 20, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that we may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things. If you want to learn about the Lord, I am your best friend. And I'm not talking about, somebody comes up to me and say, hey, pastor, I struggle with, and they name a sin, and I just know there's probably not a place for me here at Lighthouse. That kind of person I can handle. I can deal with that. Someone who is repentant. Someone who says, I've got an issue, I've got a problem, and will you help me work through it? And man, I am your best friend. But if you want to be a person that says, I don't care what God says. I don't care what God's word says. I don't care what is right and I don't care what is wrong. I'm just going to do my own thing. We're gonna do battle. We're gonna do battle. The battle lines are drawn. So, what did they say? Verse 17. Materialism. This was a materialistic church. I'm just reminded again. I'm so thankful for Brother Monday loaning me that book on R.G. Letourneau. What a refreshing testimony. If you have not read his biography, you should. Put out by Moody Press years ago. It's an old book. Borrow it from the Monday Loan Library. It is a easy read. It's a paperback. It's not very thick. You could sit down and read it. I read it in a couple of nights. It's an easy read. And his wife, when they struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled, and when they sold their patents, the first time in their life, they got a check for, I want to say it was like for $31 million. Back in the 1950s, that was a lot of money. That might not be a lot of money today, but you'd like to try that for a bit, though. Like to try that on for size. That was a lot of money back then. And his wife looked right at her husband. And it's good when a husband and wife are on the same page. And she said, "This is going to ruin us." And he said, "We're going to give 90% of that to the Lord. We'll live on the little bit." And they did. They did. It's just an amazing life. But this church, they didn't need God because they had money. They had money. Our increased with God. I'm rich, increased with goods. I need nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And we should beware. The Bible tells us to beware of covetousness. It'll wreck you. Affluence, materialism. There's a danger of becoming a high society church. And occasionally people will come, and they'll come and they'll visit and say, "Man, we look at you on the website, and but this is not the church we're looking for. We're serving in the White House, or we're serving over on Capitol Hill, and we're really looking for a church that has more of a political presence." What are they saying? We're looking to be powerful. We want to be a powerful. We're looking for power. And you don't seem to be all bent out on politics. No, I'm not. And you're looking for a high society church. Lighthouse is probably not the place where you want to be. No one has ever... I've been accused of a lot of things. Miss Ann would call me the dumb farm boy from Michigan when I wouldn't do something that she wanted me to do. But we have never been accused of being high society. We should never be high society. It's not something we should strive to be. So somebody comes into church and they say, "Pastor, what can I do?" And can you sing? You can sing in the choir. Can you ush? Rick ushes in the 8:30 service. Rick, when you usher, do you walk a straight line? He tries to. The truth matter is, he can't. He kind of. But that doesn't bother me. Not at all. We have children to play special music. That doesn't bother me. But there are some churches you can't. Their children aren't allowed to play special music. Why? Because they're not perfect. Only the best. They hire people, hire singers, hire ringers. Listen, I'll tell you what. I'd rather hear the children's choir sing out of a heart of love for the Lord than some hired gun movie star, platinum label person. It costs us people from time to time. There's a gal. Back when the piano was over here, that tells you how many years ago it was, she came and she said, "I want to sing special music." And I said, "That'd be fine." She said, "I have a tape that I want to sing with." I said, "What? Here at Lighthouse, we use music and we use instruments and we use people who play them." "Well, who can play this?" I said, "I can and I will." And so she gave me the music and I played it. And she was standing up here behind the pulpit and she looked at me and she said, You are not perfect like the tape is." I said, "I'm playing what the music is written. I'm going to guess a person on the tape is not singing what is written in the music." Well, How about I just sing with the tape? And I said, here at Lighthouse, we believe that God blesses people who want to serve him. They don't have to be perfect. And I'll tell you, I am not perfect. And I'm not perfect on the piano. Did you hear my introduction a little bit ago? Yeah, okay, I was in the wrong key. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you that. I'm not perfect like the person on that CD. She said, you are not. Just real snippety. And I said, but I've listened to the CD, and your voice isn't like that voice. She looked at me like I just slapped her on the face. Now, she's standing up here, and I'm at the piano. And I said, so how about this? We just skip you singing and me playing, and we just play the CD. Here's the thing. God blesses people that want to serve him. You do not have to be perfect to serve the Lord. You just have a heart for God. Do you have a heart for God? Do you want to serve him? There are areas to serve him. You can. And you do not have to be perfect to serve the Lord here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. You might have to be perfect to serve him or sing in the choir at another Baptist church, but not here. But not here. Danger. Need of nothing. Not salvation. They don't need power. They're no commitment. They're not bothered. Wealth blinded the Laodicean. It is a Laodicean mindset, blinded by wealth. But they were in dire need of spiritual riches. So in verse 18, Christ admonishes them to buy of me gold tried in the fire. What is gold? God's word. That thou mayest be rich spiritually and not physically. And white raiment, again, that speaks of salvation. That thou mayest be clothed with what? With the garments of salvation. And that the shame of thy nakedness is absolutely shameful. So a dozen years ago, a fella met with me. And said, you are so old-fashioned. And I said, thank you very much. That's not a compliment, he said. I said, oh, I feel like when I walked into your church that I was walking back in a time zone 100 years ago. I said, thank you very much. That's not a compliment. I said, okay. He said, what you need to be is more like so-and-so. And he mentioned a mega church pastor. They were running, I don't know, about 30,000 people. And he said, and this guy wrote a book. And you should read it. You might learn something. And so he ordered me the book and he sent it to me. It was so, and it was before diversity, equity, and inclusion, and all that woke stuff. But that's all it was. And he had just become the pastor of this big mega church, 30,000 people. He had never pastored before. And my Bible says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up in pride." And he was. And I can tell you that he wrecked the church. He absolutely wrecked it because his teaching was not based on God's word. His philosophy of shepherding was not based on God's word. People, and it went to court. And so the public testimony is out there. And they said, give me an example of what happened. Well, I said to the pastor, I want to talk to you. Help me. I have this need. And the pastor said, I talked to you for 15 minutes on Sunday morning, and that's all you get. Don't call me about your problems. That's all you get. That's all you pay me for. 15 minutes on Sunday morning. Pay attention. Whoa. There was no Krispy Kreme pastor there, I'll tell you what. So the church is wrecked. The book is discredited, but we're 12 years down the road. The church is wrecked. People's lives are destroyed. I want you to be like that guy. Listen, I don't want to be like that guy. I don't want to be like this guy, this church. I don't want to be like that. And we should not want to be that way. But if we're not going to be that way, we have to strive to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying it's not power hungry. It's about servant. It's servant leadership. Servant leadership in the pulpit, servant leadership in the choir, servant leadership in our classes, servant leadership in our officers' meetings. There should be neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Servant leadership, as opposed to Laodicean mindset. Because when you get to this point, God's on the outside. Hey, in there. Love to come in. Got a neat book called Bible. Like for you to read it. Got some good instructions in there. Hello? I stand at the door and knock. Doesn't say if the church will open. It says if any man open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminders from this church that had gotten their eyes off of you. Not your church. It's their church. That'd never be the case here. That we would remember from this desk down to every single elected official that we are not to be lords over God's heritage. We are to be examples to the flock. And that servant leadership is Bible leadership. May we display that and strive towards that. Here in our church, in our Sunday school classes, on the buses, in our homes, we'll pray and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. If you have a prayer request.